May the grace of the Lord be multiplied to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, I ask you today that you would just keep me out of it. Keep us out of it. This ain't about me. It's about us as a body. Keep us out of it. Get all of our opinions out of the way. Get all of our ideas that are tainted, that don't come from you, out of the way, and help us to receive humbly the Word of God to be planted in our hearts. In Jesus' name. And Father, I do pray, O Spirit of God, give us discernment so that we can know what comes from you and what does not. You said the last days would be so dark and deceiving, Lord, that even the elect would be deceived if possible. So, Lord, we need help. We need discernment. We need your grace to really believe the truth and understand it. And Lord, we'll give you glory for eternity for saving us through the truth of the cross, through believing in the one you sent. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name. Beloved, I want to talk to you today about the workers of iniquity. One of the scriptures that always was in the back of my mind, it kind of. There's a saying, I don't use it, but it keeps coming to mind. It stuck in my crawl. It was like something that was always bothering me deeply in the back of my mind was the scripture in Matthew where Jesus tells his disciples, many will come in that day. He's talking about the day of judgment when our eternal dwelling places will be determined. Many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? Didn't we lay hands on the sick and they recovered? And he will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And that bothers me. Still today, it bothers me. But I believe the Spirit of God has helped me to finally understand it over the last several years, to really start to see why. Why will these people be turned away from God? And I want to talk about today, who are the workers of iniquity? If you look in Psalm 5:5, the Bible says that God hates all, not some, all the workers of iniquity. He hates them all. The workers of iniquity can be compared with the New Testament, children of wrath. In the New Testament, there are several places the Bible talks about the children of wrath, those prepared for destruction. If you understand that, it means that in God's foreknowledge, he saw who would believe, who would yield, who would believe on the one that he sent, who would come to him, who would accept the truth and reject this first life of Adam. And he predestined them according to his foreknowledge to be conformed to his image. Those are the children of grace, the children of mercy. But Paul says we were all at one time, all of us were the children of wrath, or the children of disobedience. Now here we're going to start to get something, because if you look up this word, children of disobedience, if you look up the word disobedience, it's similar to the word apathy. It's a Greek word, and if you look it up, the root of this word means not persuaded. It's interesting. I even posted the definition here for you from the Greek word from the Strong's dictionary. What does the word mean? King James translates it often as unbelief. Most of the more modern versions always translate it unbelief. But sometimes King James translates it disobedience. But if you look up the word, it means not persuaded. It's someone who is obstinate. They will not be persuaded of the truth, no matter what they go through, no matter what God does to try to show it to them, no matter what happens, they're not persuaded of the truth. And so, really, what it boils down to is the children of wrath are those who refuse to believe in the one that he sent. They refuse. They will not believe the message of the cross. And because of that, they are children of wrath. They are the children that will not be persuaded. Now, Paul says, we were all this. All of us were this. We were all born this way. When the Bible said in Psalm 5:5 that God hates all the workers of iniquity, I always thought that was the people that aren't Christians, the people that aren't religious, the people that are purposely living in sin. But when you understand the gospel, my friend, and when you understand, when you don't even have to understand, when you look at Jesus's ministry, that blows that out of the water. It's not the religious people who are not the workers of iniquity. When Jesus came, he exposed that more than anything else, that those who were trying to do what God said to do, those who were his people, so to speak, they were the ones with the Bibles, they were the ones preaching, they were the ones fasting and praying and laying hands on sick people. They were doing it. Even the Pharisees were doing it. They were even casting out devils. And Jesus shows that they are also the workers of iniquity. As a matter of fact, that's why they rejected him, because he was showing they are just as much, if not more, workers of iniquity than those they were preaching against or to or about. The worker of iniquity, friend, is every human being that is born of Adam. You know who that includes? Amen. It includes everybody. When the Bible says God hates all the workers of iniquity, the Jews took that. I took that. Every normal human being takes that as the bad group of people. But the truth of the matter is, we are all the workers of iniquity. We're born that way. The word iniquity, that we got to break some of this down so we can get the full picture. The word iniquity literally means bent, to bent. It mean to bent. I'm sorry. But when you bend something, that's what the word iniquity means. It means bent, not straight, is what the word iniquity means. I remember an evangelist years ago. It was a really good message. It came from the Lord for sure. He put this big line up on the screen where you normally put the words or whatever, the big screen in the church. He put a line up there, a real long line, and he said, "Is this line straight?" And it appeared straight. I looked out, I thought, yeah, that's a straight line from one side of the screen to the other one. And then he put another line underneath it that was perfectly straight. And only then could we see the bend in the top line. The first line that he showed us was bent, but we couldn't see it because the bend was so slight that the curve was not discernible with the human eye until he put a straight line underneath it. And then we could tell that the one on the top was bent. And he said, "This is iniquity." It means bent. And there's no way that we can see our iniquity unless you hold our life up next to the life of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can tell. That you can truly tell just how bent your life is, because our eyes don't see it. We don't see it. Even when we're bad, even when we do bad things, we still feel like we're decent. I mean, some people don't, but when they, do all kinds of crazy things, but it's amazing. Even serial killers, as they've talked to them, many of them feel like they're a good person deep down inside. It's amazing. But we can't see our bentness until we hold it up to Jesus, and then we see it. But iniquity simply means everything we do is imperfect. It's not perfect. It's not truly good. Now, Who is he talking about? Who everything they do? Who is that referring to, that everything they do is not good? If you look in Romans chapter 3, which is it's talking about what was written in the Old Covenant as well. It says there are none righteous. There are none that does good, not even one. None. It's talking about of all human beings born of Adam, not Jesus. He wasn't born of the first Adam. But all human beings born of the first Adam are bent. None of them do things good. None of them do, even if they think they do. All the good things they do, they appear to be good in our eyes because we can't see how bent that they are. Even our good deeds are bent, and we don't see it because we don't see the motivations of our heart. That's why the Bible said the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide. Let me put this in modern English. Able to separate a person's soul from a person's spirit so they can see the thoughts and intents and motivations of their spirit. They can see what's deep down inside, what's hidden from the human eye. Only the Word of God can do that. And it can only do that if we submit to it. If we hear what it's saying, if we comprehend it, and only the Holy Spirit can help us to comprehend the Word of God. It cannot be understood by the natural man. It's spiritually discerned. So, friend, the simple truth is we are all the workers of iniquity. Every one of us are. None of us do good. Everything we do, everything we produce, is bent, even if it looks good. And that is the thing that Christians will say, yeah, amen, brother. But they don't really believe that. They don't really believe their parenting is bent. Their Christianity is bent. Their morality is bent. Their ideas of right and wrong are tremendously bent. Their politics is bent. Everything is bent. It's all tainted with iniquity. God did not come to show us how to be straight because none of us can be. He came to show us we're all bent so that we would reject our bent life and yield to the only life that is straight and believe in it because it's the only life that is straight. Eternity is not about living for God and serving Him and doing what He says to do. Eternity is about being swallowed up with God. It's about becoming a conduit for him, where he flow a conduit, something that something else flows through. God, we're created to be a house of God, a vessel for God to flow through fully with his life and his power and his grace and his glory. But our independent mind gets in the way of that. There's no way we can be a conduit for God with this life we were born with. Jesus is a conduit for God. He wasn't bent. He only did what he saw the Father doing. He was a perfect representation of the Father. He's the image of the invisible one. Why? Because he was constantly yielded. I can do nothing of my own self, he says. He was constantly yielded to the Father, trusting in the Father. The Father was flowing through him all the time. That's why he wasn't bent. This is what we were created to be. But we're not that when we are born into this world. We are not conduits for God. We are independent vessels who deciding what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And that very life had to be crucified for us to be able to participate in the straight life of Jesus Christ that has no bend in it. It has no iniquity in it. So back to the workers of iniquity. How in the world could a massive group of people who believe in God, who believe in Christianity, who spend their money and their time spreading the quote gospel? I say quote because it's not the real gospel. Something God showed me a few years ago that brings this together is that in Matthew chapter 7, When Jesus says, I never knew you, he does not say they do not say. Remember when they come to Jesus there in Matthew 7, they say, did we not? And they start listing all the things they did for him. I noticed something glaringly absent. They did not say, did we not preach the gospel? Isn't that interesting? They said, did we not cast out devils? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not lay hands? Did we not do many wonderful works? But they didn't say, did we not preach the gospel? And I believe the reason that they don't say that on Judgment Day is because they realize that they didn't. They don't even know the gospel. They don't even understand it. Now, I have realized over the last several years, God showing me, I was headed that direction. Every human being is going that direction. We're all the workers of iniquity. And the only ones that will be saved are those who believe the truth, those who believe in the one that he sent. But friend, the truth is we are all wicked. We all had to die. That's the true message of the cross. That's not what's being preached in charismatic Christianity, which is why many people who are standing before God, who did all of these religious things, are the children of unbelief. They're the children who would not be persuaded in the truth. And when Jesus came, the religious people, most of them, would not be persuaded in the truth because the truth is, and the truth was at that time, the same as it is now, the truth is that we are all the same thing. And the people that were trying to do good did not feel like they are wicked. They are the evil. They did not think they're the same thing as the people that they judged. They didn't feel that. They didn't believe that. They did not believe in the truth. The ones that represented God didn't understand it, didn't believe in it. As a matter of fact, they are separated from Christ because they think righteousness is something to be obtained by their effort. They think that God wants us to be good for him. And so they judge mankind on who's performing better. And they think the ones that are good for God get to go to heaven, and the ones that aren't don't. They go to hell. And friend, this is a misconception. They're not understanding. All of us are the workers of iniquity, especially the ones that are trying not to be so hard and trying to tell others not to be. We are all the same thing. The only people that will genuinely be saved, and Jesus constantly showed this, are the broken people. Why? It takes brokenness, it takes humility to recognize what we all are. It takes extreme brokenness, extreme humility to recognize what you are, what I am. It's easy for me to look at other people and say they're bad. It's easy for me to look at somebody like Hitler and say he's evil. It's easy for me to look at the Democrats or the Republicans, whichever side I'm on, and say that group is wrong. That's very easy for me to do that. As a matter of fact, it's easy for me to see my wife's iniquity. I can see her bentness, especially if I focus in on her and try to find out what she's doing wrong or what she doesn't believe right. Oh my goodness, I can see her bentness. The problem is, without a special help from the Holy Spirit, I can't see mine. I can see everybody else's. But it takes a great, great help of God, a great revelation of the Lord, to begin to see that I am the chief of sinners, that there's nobody in this world who's more a sinner than I myself am. It's amazing that Paul called himself the chief of sinners. If you really understand his life, he never had sex. He said he was perfect according to the law, and he was unmarried. So he never fornicated, not once. He never used God's name in vain. He never, on the outside, stole anything that he knew of. He didn't bear false witness that he knew of. He did everything on the outside perfect, and yet he called himself the chief of sinners, and he did refer to the fact that he persecuted Christians, but that was just evidence of what he was. It was just evidence. It's not that he's saying I'm a worse sinner just because I did this. What he's saying is it's evidence. I'm at the top. I'm the worst. We're all the same thing. None of us are righteous. But Paul said my unrighteousness was exposed through my persecution of the truth. I was actually thinking I was representing it while I was having people thrown in prison who are actually representing it, while I was killing people or giving my permission to kill people who were actually representing it. I'm the chief. I'm the worst. I'm the worst of the worst. This is a guy who never fornicated, a guy who never cussed, a guy who never got drunk and did crazy things. Never. He was extremely pious, extremely religious. He came to the conclusion that he was the worst of all people. Oh my goodness. How did that happen? Only through the Holy Spirit showing him the true message of the cross. He went from being a religious person preaching the truth, trying to get everybody to do what's right so they could get to heaven, to a broken person who counted all of his efforts as a big pile of steaming crap that he might obtain to the power of the resurrection. He knew he had to decrease, that there's no good thing in him at all, that it's not by might or by power. Paul learned the truth. He went from being a worker of iniquity who did not believe the truth to being a child of mercy and grace. So the workers of iniquity, friend, are those who cannot be convinced, no matter what. And I could see this in my own life. It's not about those people. It took God decades to show me what I am. I mean, and man, nobody else could have convinced me of it. Matter of fact, if somebody would have told me I'm a lying, thieving, murdering, adulterer, I would have killed them, you know, not literally. Well, I doubt that. Very serious, I would kill anybody, literally. But I wouldn't put it past any of us. But oh my God, it would make me so mad and I would be so defensive. If you call me a liar because I'm a Christian, I'd try my very hardest to tell the truth. I didn't consider myself a liar. Liars will find their place in the lake of fire. For all of our life, all of us, our natural life is a liar. It's a bearer of false witness. We don't represent others 100% accurately. It's not in our nature to do so. We can't if we tried to. We will always represent ourselves in the better light. We certainly don't represent God perfectly. And that's really the foundation of the commandment. Don't bear false witness. Do we 100% represent God perfectly to our children, to our coworker, to the people in the world? No, none of us do it. None of us do it perfectly. There's only one life that represents the Father perfectly. And if that's not the life flowing through us, we're not representing Him perfectly. And that life cannot flow through us until we stop trying to produce, until we are broken and humble. That's why Paul preached in fear and trembling, not in confidence and arrogance and boldness, because he had realized, he had come to the conclusion, he found out the truth. But today, my friend, in the charismatic movement, you will scarcely hear the truth. Sparsely, I think I put two different words. You will scarcely hear the truth in the charismatic movement today that has people laying hands on the sick and they recover, that's going out and casting out devils. You will rarely hear anything that even resembles the true message of the cross. It's not there. This is why this group of people, and we could be in it if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to show us the truth, if we're stubborn. I can remember going through year after year after year, preaching the truth, preaching righteousness, and constantly watching myself stumble, preaching against fornication, preaching against premarital sex, preaching against, and then every few months or so, I would fall into looking at pornography online for a few minutes. Doesn't matter how long I did it. I was never really into it deeply. It doesn't matter. I guess I'm trying to defend myself in some way by saying that, but I'm the same thing as everybody else. I'm just trying to paint the proper picture. As a pastor, I wasn't looking at pornography every day or even every month or even every year at times, but I would stumble. I would fall. I remember one time it was a couple years and then bam, I fell. Sometimes it was a couple months and then bam, I fell. But I never was free completely from lusting inside for more than a couple weeks. I would battle it and struggle with it, but I would do it on the inside. I was the one Jesus was talking to. You've heard it taught, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you do it inside, you're an adulterer. I was still an adulterer. I didn't understand that. I'm preaching against adultery while I'm an adulterer, and I didn't understand what I was doing. I still say it's wrong to commit adultery, but I do it in the light of all of us are adulterers and will continue to be so unless we hate our life, reject it, and receive His and believe in His and lay hold of His and walk in His. His life is the only life that doesn't commit adultery, friend. It's the only one that we can't produce that. So the workers of iniquity are those who refuse to get the message. All that time I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit was trying to show me I'm a hypocrite. I'm doing in some way or another what I'm telling others not to do. And when he really began to show me all of that, it was devastating when I could finally get it. But man, it scares me because where was I headed? I believe without a doubt I was born again. But where was I headed? Was I headed to what the Bible calls the apostate? Do you know that if you're believing the wrong thing, eventually you can get so frustrated that you just turn away from Christ? Nobody thinks they would ever do that. I got real close to that, real close to that. I got so frustrated. I wanted to, as a matter of fact. I think I even tried to, but my spirit wouldn't let me because there's nowhere else to go. It's like the psalmist says, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Where can I go? Where can I flee from the Lord? I can't. It's like Jonah that said, I'm not going to do what God said to do. So he jumps on a ship and ends up in the belly of a big fish and spit out right where he's supposed to be. But I can't get away, praise God. And now I don't want to, but I know I went through a season where I just didn't want it anymore. It wasn't what I was signed up for. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. We were all the children of wrath, all the children of obstinate unbelief, refused to believe the truth that there are none that are good. There are none that do good, not even one. Paul did not quote that scripture and say there used to be none that are righteous. There used to be, back in the old days, there used to be none that are righteous. Back in them old times, there used to be none that do good. But now we have Christians. Oh, hallelujah. No, Rennie wasn't saying that. He was saying it's true today. It wasn't just true yesterday. It's true right now. There are none that do good. Not even one. Not the preachers, not the Christians, not the ones who fast and pray and don't have the internet. There are none who do good. Not even one. The gospel, the true gospel, is not about doing good for God. The true gospel is about rejecting the life that came from the first Adam, seeing why it had to die, identifying with what Jesus accomplished on our behalf, knowing that he crucified this life so that we could have his life. And the only people that are saved, now watch this. For time's sake, I want to really wrap this up here and give you some truth, give you some seeds in your spirit. It used to confuse me because you've got this big group of people standing there who cast out devils, who healed the sick, and they're turned away as workers of iniquity. But then you've got the Apostle Paul who says, if you've got somebody among you who's fornicating, who's sinning unrepentantly, turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved on the final day. We've got Paul painting a picture that many believers, many people who understand Jesus, are going to be saved through the destruction of their flesh. They'll be saved because sin destroys them. Now, this doesn't make sense because if you don't understand the message of the cross, it doesn't. It really does make sense once you understand the message of the cross. But if you don't, you've got this big group of people standing in front of Jesus. Man, they weren't destroyed because of their iniquity. And yet they are the workers of iniquity. They're the ones healing the sick and casting out devils and giving up their money and giving up their time to travel the seas to win converts. And these are the workers of iniquity. And then you've got people who are destroyed from fornication. They're sinning all kinds of junk in their life, and they're destroyed because of it, but they're saved. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even seem, quote, fair in human terms. Because you're going to have one standing there, like Lazarus, with dogs licking his sores. He obviously did not live a righteous life. God never lied. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. God said, if you will be perfectly righteous and do everything I say to do, you'll never get sick. That's very clear. I'll keep all the sicknesses of the world off of you. I'll make you rich. I'll give you success. That is the promise if you can do everything perfectly. So this poor man with dogs licking him did not do everything, and yet he saved. Yet he saved. And the guy who did a lot of things right and got success, he's not. That doesn't compute until you understand the true message of the cross. When people came up to Jesus and they said, what must we do to do the works that God requires of us? Jesus answered, the work of God is this: believe on the one that he sent. So the truth is that this group of people standing before God, being rejected as the workers of iniquity, they didn't genuinely believe in the one that he sent. Somehow they were lied to. Somehow they were deceived. And they didn't believe in the true message of the cross. They didn't believe that they are the workers of iniquity, that they had to die. They didn't reject their life. And now they're standing before God in their life, standing there thinking that their life is going to be accepted because of what they did for God. And they are in shock because God rejects them as the workers of lawlessness, the workers of iniquity. It does not make any sense, which is why that it doesn't make any sense to the human mind, which is why that scripture stuck in my craw. That scripture always bothered me a little bit. In the back of my mind, oh my goodness, because I'm laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. I'm casting out devils. I've spent a ton of money to go to Africa, to go to Czech, to go to Brazil, to go to all different places in the world, Guyana. I've spent a lot of my money, a lot of my time to try to serve God and do something for God. And I believe there's a reward coming for that. And while I was doing that, I did not hate Jeff's life. I wanted God to bless Jeff's life. I didn't understand it. There was a part of me that did. If you know me, you know I'd never have tried to, with my mouth, promote Jeff and looking for great success. It's just not been me, but I know it's in me. I know it's what I wanted. I wanted God to advance me. It wasn't happening. I wasn't getting success. Things were getting worse rather than better. And that's when I really had it out with God. It's when I really began to find out what I am and what I really wanted. Only God could show me the motivations of my heart. I didn't even know it. I was preaching it to other people not to be motivated for self-gain. And yet I was motivated by self-gain. I didn't know it. Preaching at others not to have selfish ambition. Yet I had selfish ambition and didn't realize it. Most of the time, it took the Holy Spirit to open my eyes and show it to me. And now, I see, and every day I see it, and I don't want Jeff. I don't want my life, and I understand what it is. Jeff is a worker of iniquity. This is why he had to die. The only way, when I stand before God, my name's going to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is if I believe, genuinely believe, on the one that he sent. I keep saying the one with emphasis because that's a power-packed statement. To believe on the one that he sent means I don't believe in any other one. That includes me. It includes every preacher. It includes every human being. I do not believe in any human being. There is none of us that are good. I don't follow anybody. If somebody's preaching the true message, I love the message. I'll listen to the message and I'll honor the vessel. But that's it. I honor what comes from God. I'll even honor the vessel it comes through. But I don't believe in that vessel. That vessel could be all to hell tomorrow, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't put my confidence in any man. Why? Because I know what's in man. I know what's in me. I don't even trust me at all. Not at all. If I don't every day say, Lord, I need you. I don't want me. There's no telling what I will do in the future. We all have to come to this revelation of the truth. That's why we're here. God's trying to show us what we are, trying to get us to reject it. All of us were born into this fallen state. All of us are enemies of God. We're all separated from God. And the way back to God is not say a sinner's prayer. It's not become a Christian. It's not become a religious person. The only way back to God is to reject the tree and reject the life that came from it and reject our mom and dad and mother, our brother, our sister, our wife, our children. It's the only way. It's the only way back to Him. This is why we go into the world with the message of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, through denying yourself, through taking up your cross and following Jesus. So, beloved, if you don't believe in you anymore because of what the Holy Spirit has shown you, then, friend, you are a child of mercy. You're a child of grace. Not because you're better than somebody else. Not even because you're performing better than somebody else. I perform worse than many worldly people, and I hate to admit that, but I see it more and more all the time. I'm just not good. There are so many people that don't believe in God that are better than me. I hate my temper, and I've tried to control it. I can't. The only time my temper is controlled is when I'm seeing the truth, listening to God, and hearing what He's saying, and then I just, the anger goes away. It usually hits me. If I hit my hand with a hammer, bam, you know, all of a sudden, and then I just realize the truth, and it dissipates and it goes away. And I thank God. Otherwise, I couldn't let it go. Instead of lasting for a minute, it would last days. But I hate it. I hate it. I see other people. I see worldly people that respond much better than me. Their temperament is better than mine, better than Jeff's, not better than Jesus's. But better than Jeff's, and I don't like it. I'm not good. I see it. Oh, I hate it. I see it all the time. But friends, some people can't see it, especially the good performers. The good performers cannot see their iniquity, and that's scary. And that was me. I thought I was performing so well. You know, I was praying 5 hours a day, fasting at least 2 days a week, regularly. I mean, I didn't have TV. I didn't have anything worldly. And yet, I was still a worker of iniquity and I couldn't see it. I was doing all these things that I thought were good. And I'm not the worker of iniquity. I'm part of God's family now. But if there's anything Jesus showed, oh my goodness, those are the people that really need to wake up. Because those are the ones that are invited. Those are the ones representing Him. Those are the religious people in the world. One by one, they'll give an excuse when He comes. One by one, they've obtained something here they want to enjoy for a short season at least. And so they don't want Him to come right this second. They want to enjoy marriage first. They want to get their property first. They want to do this first. Why? Because they don't understand the truth. They haven't rejected the world. They haven't rejected their life. So they're still walking in their old man. They're still walking as a worker of iniquity, even if they're performing better than anybody else. That's who Saul of Tarsus was. He was performing better than anybody else. He prayed all the time, fasted all the time, sought God all the time, memorized scriptures all the time. Everything he did was for God. And yet he was clearly a worker of iniquity and headed for the prison. He was headed for the fire. He was headed for Hades. Until he had that experience where he got knocked down and blinded. And then he began to realize why he had to die and what he was. But it took God years to show him that. That revelation didn't come right away. If you really understand Paul's life, after that experience, he started preaching right away, Jesus is the Messiah. He wasn't preaching the gospel of the cross. He didn't know about it. But about 15 years later, They went and got him from Antioch. They went and got him. And that is when he began to preach the message of the cross that we have in the scriptures. It was 15 years later. Now, it took God a while. As a matter of fact, the Bible says where Paul went after that road to that experience there where he got knocked down and blinded, where God took him. He took him to Mount Sinai. He took him to Arabia, where Mount Sinai is, where the Ten Commandments were given. That's a clear picture. God had to show Paul the reason for the Old Covenant before he could understand what Jesus actually did. He had to show Paul why we all had to die. And when Paul went to the third heaven, he revealed this to him. He showed him the message of the cross, and Paul comes and he preaches this message to us, why we all had to die. There are none that are righteous. All that I was trying to do, he says, was worthless and dung. We cannot produce it. I must decrease. He must increase. I know there's no good thing in me. All the troubles I'm going through is because when I'm broken down, his strength is made perfect. I'm not supposed to have any self-confidence. I'm supposed to trust in the one that raises the dead. This is what the Apostle Paul taught us. But he came to that conclusion because he had a revelation of the truth. He was a worker of iniquity like everybody else until he believed in the one that the Father sent. And most Christians do not. I don't say that lightly or arrogantly or because I think I'm in the right camp, friend. There is no such thing as a right camp. There isn't one. There isn't one. But the truth of the matter is that most Christians do not believe anything even similar to the message of the cross. They don't. They don't reject their life. They don't tell anybody we all had to die. They don't see themselves as evil. They don't. They don't see it. And yet they think they're on the way to heaven because they're the good ones. They're the good guys. They're the ones that believe in God and they, quote, believe in Jesus. They don't even understand what he is or who he is, but they believe in Jesus. What they believe in is some faraway God seated on a throne who loves them and has a plan for their life and wants to fulfill their destiny. That is not the Jesus of the New Testament. He's not seated up there to fulfill your destiny and give us what we want and give us success and make everything turn out good for us. No, friend, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible became you so that he could put you to death so you'd have a chance, an opportunity to believe in what he did so that you can be saved. And beloved, religious people will not be saved unless they come to the realization of what the true message of the cross is. So these are the workers of iniquity. That's what it means. All of us. The only ones who will be saved are those whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And most people will not make that book without some great pain and suffering and difficulty, because it's through the fire that the truth is revealed. It's through the pain that we find out what we are, and the Holy Spirit patiently, with love and with comfort, shows it to us and points us to the cross. He points us to the blood. He points us to the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, if you believe in the one that he sent, then you're no longer a worker of iniquity. Even if you're still sinning, I don't say that so you'll still sin. Of course not. The more we believe and trust him, the less sin there will be. Praise God, because his life is not sinful. But if you really understand and believe in him, even if you're destroyed because of your own addictions, your own lust, your own perversions, whatever it may be, even if it destroys you, you will still be saved, according to the Apostle Paul, because you believe in the one that he sent. And yet there may be somebody standing up there close to you, like Saul of Tarsus, who was preaching at you and telling you not to do those things, who's not saved because he didn't understand the truth. It's crazy, but it's real. It's real. Oh, beloved, God bless you today in Jesus' name. May God give you the grace to believe in the one that he sent so that you can be a child of grace, a child of mercy. For we were all the children of wrath. But God has given us grace and mercy to believe in the one that he sent. Now we need to press in to the mark of the high calling, to lay hold of his life so that we're not destroyed by the flesh. Amen. God bless you today in Jesus' name.